Okay, good answer. Nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. The Bergen Image Radio Association runs a technical net, a discussion about anything about amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, computing, things that touch on those things in our everyday lives. And so we welcome you to talk about pretty much anything if you can tie it back in some way to the technology that underlies it all. In any case, this net is run weekly at 9 o'clock on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club repeater in Alpine, New Jersey. The tone to access this repeater, if you need it, is 141.3. And we also tend to run an access via Echolink, and that's via Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L, K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L, and that's how you get in via Echolink. We will do an Echolink check-in as well as a RF check-in as we always do. The way we check into this net is a little different than others. We check in by giving our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether or not we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. And we hope you will check in whether or not you have a question or a comment, whether or not you're a member. It's open to all radio amateurs who can operate in the 2-meter band. It helps us focus our answers if we know who's out there. So please check in even if you don't have what you perceive a question or an announcement. In any case, so why don't we begin these festivities? Let's see. Okay. Wow, getting an interesting blurb on my computer here. All right. So, call signs beginning with Alpha. They should check in with their call sign, their name, and indicate whether they have a question or comment. Both or none of the above. Please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo.
K2 BAR. This is K2 ZO. Just one comment. Over.
Okay, I guess we're doing Kilo 2s. Thank you, Jim. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilo 2s?
Kilo 2, Alpha Mike India. Tony, K2 AMI. No comments tonight. Just kind of listening.
Good to have you aboard as always, Tony. No problem. Any other Kilo 2s? All right, any other kilos? All righty. How about whiskey stations?
W2JEK, done, no question.
WE2R, Charlie, no questions.
Hi, Charlie and Don. Okay, very good. And any other whiskeys?
WA2CAI.
Okay, Thomas, will you be giving us a question or a comment tonight?
No, negative. I'm just here. Raise hell, that's all.
It's a blessing that you are. I'm glad. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty. Let's go to the Novembers. Any November stations?
NS2K Jim, no question at this point.
Hey James, good to hear you. And any other Novembers? Alrighty, any other stations wishing to check in at this time? Call K2BAR.
AF2ID, Ben.
Good evening, Ben. Do you have questions or comments for the net?
Yes, I have a question.
Excellent. I've noted your question. We'll get to you in a minute. Any other check-ins for the net?
KO2OK, Bennett. No questions or comments. Good evening.
Good evening, Bennett.
well. Any other stations wishing to check into the net? Alrighty, any Echolink check-ins, any stations via Echolink, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. Alrighty. Very good. Well, then let's get on with it. The comment, Mr. Jim, what is your comment, sir? K2BAR.
Okay. K2BAR, K2ZO. Yeah, when I checked in, I didn't know what you were calling. All I heard you say was anybody for check-in. I had just put the radio on, so I called you. I guess you were looking for some other call. Sorry about that. I just recently got a new toy. Actually got two new toys. But one of them is very interesting. It's a key, a double paddle key, made by a guy out in St. Louis, N0SA, who happens to be a machinist. And this guy does beautiful work. And the key is really nice. If you go and just go and do a Google and go to the website, you can see what this key looks like. It's the TP3. I think that was the nicest of the three that he makes, at least for my use. I didn't want one that came apart to be used only, you know, as a lightweight. And this is a real heavy, rugged key. Anyway, it uses magnetic repulsion. It has no springs in the arms and in the adjustment rods that adjust the tension. There are magnets arranged so that they are opposing each other. And this thing has two miniature ball bearings for each of the paddles, each of the levers. So it's a pretty interesting key. And really, really has a great feel. I'm amazed. I always thought the Venture felt great, but this thing's got it beat. So that's about all the comments. So if you want to see one, if you just go on there and zero SA, you'll probably see that key. Back to Nets, K2ZO.
That sounds marvelous, Jim. N0 Sierra Alpha. I will look at it. And, you know, I have a Vibroplex set of paddles like that. And they're just paddles, but I don't know if they're not full-blown keys. Is the N0 Sierra Alpha stuff just paddles, or are they full-blown keys?
To paddle.
Okay, because my is like that. And, you know, one of the things that I would really like to do one day is to have somebody who's a good CW op make the adjustments that they would feel are right to my paddle, and that way basically I could say, okay, win, lose, or draw, this is the way I'm going to learn how to send CW properly and comfortably. I think that would be a very useful and instructive exercise. So if I can see you on the 7th, the 5th, then we'll do that. If I see you sooner, even better. But that's one of the things that I've been meaning to do. And it's here, and it's, in fact, I just drew it a little closer to me. It sits on my desk, and it's a very nice feel, but I always get the impression it's not set up quite right. The other thing I found is that I wonder, it tends to want to, I mean, it's got a pretty massive base, but not massive enough, and so it wants to move, so one of my next tricks is either going to be to put different feet on it or put it on a pad that's sticky so it can't move and doesn't flex, so we'll see. Anybody else have any experience with these magnetic paddles or paddles in general that they want to talk about? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Anyway, Jim, do you know the Vibroflex set that I have? Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, I think I do. I've seen it. I know they have one. But as far as setting it up, yeah, well, everybody's got their own idea, so what someone else may feel is great, you might. By the way, this thing does not move. This thing is a big, fat piece of steel that it's on, and it does not move. You can tap away on it,
whack it, and it's not going to slide around. It's massive. It's called a TP3, if you get on the website. Econet.
Somebody else was in there. I'll get you in a second. This is November 0, Sierra Oscar, right?
Alpha, Sierra Alpha.
Sierra Alpha. I was looking Sierra Oscar, and I got all sorts of stuff. Oh, yeah, look at that. Google pre-popped the word keys after it. There's a thing here, so let's see what he has to say. Larry Nauman, he's not related to Bob Nauman, is he?
Nope, I don't think so.
You know Bob Nauman, right?
Nope.
Really? He used to live up here 1,000 years ago. He's got a 5 call now. All right, who was the other station? Wow, what a piece of machinery this thing is.
Yeah. Down to the TP3.
I'm not looking at his website. I will now, but boy, isn't that an amazing... The picture of whatever is there, it's $170 MSRP. I think that's for the TP3, is it not?
Oh, the TP3s are more expensive.
Okie dokie. Who's the other station? Yeah, just my machine's a little slow this evening. I've got way too many browser windows open by accident. But, you got a really slick looking site, I'll tell you. Really does look nice. Products. What a neat looking site, without getting too crazy. So the weight of the paddle is between 2 and 2.5 pounds. Well, yeah, I guess that means it's not going to move much, huh?
Nope, it doesn't seem to.
Yeah, so the TP3 is much slicker looking than the TP1 and 2. It's got a heavier base, 1-inch thick base, and there's a TP4 coming soon. What in God's name is he anticipating to do with that, do you know?
No. The TP1, that whole thing comes off the base. And you can do something else with it, attach it to the the hump in your car or something like that. If you can do all kinds of things or go backpacking with it. The TP2 is a nice, but the TP3 is a much improved design where the ball bearings on the shaft are at the top and the bottom rather than just at the bottom. And so... That's the one he said to get, so I got it.
Yeah, I can see why. I can see very much why. I'll tell you, that's a slick-looking toy. It's somewhat different than what I have in the Vibroplex. But the principles are the same. The magnets are oriented differently. In the case of the Vibroplex, the magnets are up the center. In the case of the TP3, they're on the outside, which I think is interesting. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. But as far as people having different views about settings, that's okay. You tell me what... I'm kind of curious... Well, let me just ask directly... How do you like your settings, as both on gap and also on should we say resistance?
Well, on a key like this, you can make them very, very close. You don't really need to do a whole lot of moving. The amount of key movement is probably less than a 32nd of an inch.
Yeah, I would say that my dit size is probably half to a third of whatever I have on the DAW side, and there's probably on the order of a 32nd of an inch, maybe. on the DAW side, you know, the right side. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments? It's one of my my goals is to play with this. Nancy bought this for me for Christmas a couple of years ago. About 6 years ago. I've gotten two ham radio related Christmas presents from my wife over the years that really stick in my memory, because they both were total surprises. I didn't expect them. One was this key, and the other was a bird watt meter, and that was courtesy of the creativity of my wife in W2BY, Mr. Tom Moulton, who lives in Florida now, who's also, by the way, my son John's godfather. And John is the one who's going in the Navy. KC2NZC is going in the Navy on Sunday, so all cool. So anyway, any more on this topic before we move on? Well, thank you, Jim, for bringing that to our attention. I'm going to give a website, and then I'm going to take a question from Ben. I'd like people to queue up the following website, www.northbrevardarc.org. North Brevard, as in the county in Florida, Brevard, ARC.org. North Brevard, ARC.org. /gokits.htm. GoKits, GoKits .htm. We'll come back to that, and I can fill in that if someone's got a problem finding it. But I want people to cue that puppy up while we're listening to Ben's question and getting that answered. So, Mr. Ben, over to you, KF2ID from K2BAR.
Okay, well, I'm interested in individuals who are familiar with the ESNEC antenna design program. That's given away free by the ARRL. But if you want it, you're better off going directly to the site, because they have a later version, the ARRL version is an older version. Anyways, I've done some work with it, and I have a question on it, and I would, if anybody here is who has used it, I'd like to talk to him about it. The question is, I've been using it to check the performance of a simple vertical antenna, which is NFED, just feeding the vertical antenna. And I would check and get around resonance, and I find it has a high reactive component, which kind of surprised me. I thought at resonance, the reactive component ought to be quite small. So I don't know if I'm doing something wrong or that's right. So I don't know the answer to that question. So as people who used it, and if I am wrong, I'd like to know what's wrong. What am I doing wrong? So that's why I'd like to talk to somebody who has used that antenna program. That's KF2ID with K2BAR.
Okay, has anyone used EZNEC recently? John. He's not in tonight, but he's used it a lot lately. Somebody else was on the net using it not too long ago. Who was that? If you remember, John had been using it, so might want to check with him on that. I noticed not only was he using it, but he was using it pretty quickly. He was using it to evaluate, if you recall, the spacing on a Yagi. I'm sure he could do that. So let me help you with this a little bit as best we can, since we don't have an EZNEC specialist here. Do we have somebody here who, let's recap. What is it, a quarter wave vertical, and how many radials and what configuration?
It's a straight halfway vertical. No radios, just a straight halfway vertical. Just a piece of wire, a halfway long. I was just want to do some experimental work with it. But I want to start out with the straight half wave located some distance from the Earth's ground. I didn't use free space. I used something about 3 or 4 wavelengths above ground, which probably comes pretty close to free space. But I want to be a little bit practical. And I used their normal ground. I forget what they call it, but they have a sort of normal ground, which you use to sort of average ground. So all right, that's the answer to your question. KF2ID.
Okay, well, an antenna of that configuration is going to have a high impedance feed point, so I'm not surprised that you would find it to have a reactive component. So tell me more.
I know it has a high impedance, that I expected, but I didn't think that at resonance it would have a high reactive component. That I'm surprised about. I'm not, maybe my impressions were wrong, but I thought at resonance, virtually the definition of resonance, there would be a high reactive component. Reactive component, I forget the exact numbers, but a reactive component is darn near equal to the real component. That surprised me. And that's why I'm wondering if I'm doing something wrong. F2ID.
I think if you're going to account for the ground situation, the reference ground, then that might explain the reactive component, right? Because using their model ground instead of an ideal, a truly ideal one, or free space one, if you try it again in free space, what does it say?
Not tried it in free space yet. What I've read, that once you get to several wavelengths above the ground, there is an impact, but the impact is not very big. It doesn't change the antenna performance substantially. So I didn't try free space yet. Get ready.
I don't think I have EasyNeck loaded up on my... Well, the machine I have EasyNeck loaded up on is in the process of getting a Microsoft automatic update installation, so I'd rather not waste my time trying to load EasyNeck. So that's really not going to work right now. But does anybody else have any experience with EasyNeck? I'm kind of out of pocket on that one right now. All right, you know what, I'll try it. I got the EasyNeck demo like you're talking about. I just loaded it despite myself, despite my musings to the contrary. I've loaded it. I'll have to, work it out as to what's what. But half wave, several wavelengths above the ground, and what frequency?
I was using 146 megahertz, but it doesn't make any difference so long as you're several of wavelengths above ground.
Okay. I can do that. And it's one wire of, a half wave long. So did you calculate the level, or the wire length, or did you... did you give it a counterpoise or anything?
I calculated. I don't have it in front of me. I calculated and included the velocity factor. And also I did several frequencies around the halfway button to make sure that and it was definitely, well, I would say it was definitely, but it seemed to be the resonance point or seemed to be the minimum reactance point. If I went off one side, the reactance went up. If I went the other side, the reactance went up. I forgot what the exact number was. It must be about 36 inches, but I don't remember the exact number.
Okay. So to do it. All right. So I don't want to redo this calculation while people are waiting on the net, but let's just say that, I mean, I can look at it later, but so it was a simple half wave and you fed it from the bottom, so no radials at all, right?
Oh, that was the point. I wanted to start out with a simple half wave, no radials, above ground. I didn't want to use free space because that's totally, out of this world, so to speak. I want to use something reasonably close to what might happen in the real world. I think I used number 16 wire as the antenna.
Could you do us a favor, since you're already set up with this, can you add three or four wires about 20 inches long, or 19 and a half inches long, let's say, at 90 degrees to it, just to make us happy. So I think some of your problems will go away.
Oh, I know that they should. I know if I put radials in, it'll go away, but I'm trying to know. I want to know that what I did was right. In other words, in my mind, and I may have been a totally erroneous impression, that if I felt that if I beat a half wave line antenna at the resonant point, it should resonate. And when it resonates, then the reactance ought to be low. If you put a radials on it, then it's you since you have the mirror image in the radials, you're now beginning to approach something like a dipole put in the vertical, mounted vertically, because your radios allow you to have an image of the antenna, and that's not what I'm using. So I don't want to do that. I just want to understand that what I'm doing is, my approach is correct, and that's the correct answer. Why that's the correct answer is another question, but why I'm wrong, I don't know. But I had the strong impression that if you had a half-wave antenna at resonant, it ought to be basically conductive, not reactive, because that is virtually the definition of resonance, KF2ID. In my mind, and I may be wrong there.
Well, I don't have the modeling set up the way you do, and I'm the only other one who's got it, got the software, and really not in a position to run it right now because, you know, my machine is like within a minute of being rebooted, so there was just no way I could get this squared up fast enough. But it certainly begs an interesting question, so I'm glad you brought the question to us, but you know, I unfortunately don't have the ability to answer it correctly at this point. Give it a give it the justice it deserves. But it's certainly an interesting question. But I think it sounds to me like you're doing the right thing. One way to prove that you've done the right thing is to add some radials. And you'll still have a reactive component, but it'll start to calm down a bit. I guess that's my point.
Okay, well, I'll probably send a question to the ESNIC people. Maybe they'll be kind enough to give me an answer. But you said that you know John. I don't know his school number. Other people, I'd like to in general get in touch with other people who use this antenna program, so I might have discussions about it as I go, as I increase my competence in it. It's always have somebody else to talk to. Sometimes it's just a simple question to somebody who knows what they're doing can save one or hours of grief. So if you happen to know people who use the program, I appreciate knowing their goals, say, of KF2ID.
BA2BA, I think it was. John, I think that's his call. I'll look it up later in my travels here. I think I can get that for you. Not too many trouble. This call sign shows up in a Barra TechNet list, so I just have to go look in my send folder. I'll find the WB2AIU notes and go from there. So I'm doing that as we speak. Anybody else for this subject? All right. Let's do this now. Any other additional check-ins with or without questions, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo with your call sign. Your name, indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2 BAR.
K2 BAR. K2 ORS. No questions, no comments, just listening.
Hey, Robert. Oh, I'm glad you reminded me. I gave you your little jumper thing back on Sunday, but something you had in your pocket that I gave you in the morning, you probably forgot about it, was a small pair of adapters from a SMA male to a SO239 female. So when you get a chance, get that back to me, if you would. No questions, eh?
You didn't give that to me, Gordon, at all.
Oh, because I thought I gave it to you. Actually, what's his name, Joe Figueroa, I thought I gave it to you. Because I thought I'd give it to him. He says, no, you gave it to the guy with the blonde hair and the glasses. That would be you.
You didn't give me anything.
Okay. We'll dope it out eventually. Lord knows where it is then. Not a worry. I'll figure it out in due time. Anybody else checking into the TechNet tonight, please call K2BAR. I hear some ka-chunking, I don't hear call signs. Alrighty. I'm just checking my Rasta. And AJ4WD is Rachel, so I know it's not in with us. A guy named John who checked in several times to our TechNet. And I don't see him in my list. I know he did check in. So I don't know what to think here. I'll keep puzzling through it. Are there any other check-ins for the Barra TechNet? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, I'd like to refer everybody to the webpage I referenced before, which is /gokits.htm. I just saw a very nice slick set of Go kits on a couple of different platforms. Some were Pelican case based, others were cheap utility cases from Harbor Freight. Another one was a couple of pieces of finished wood from the your local home center. You just cut up and drill and screw together. All are wonderful examples, so just wanted to draw your attention to those. The first one was a Radio Incident Command Kit, or RIC as they call it, very cute. And it's in a Pelican 1520 case, which is like a storable briefcase, basically. And that radio has, that box has a single radio, a rig runner that includes USB ports, power distribution from West Marine, 12-volt, a three-breaker panel, and a fan, and also provisions for a USB light. Very nicely done, very slick, and all nicely protected. It really is a nicely done thing. So
You might want to take a look at that. That was pretty cool. Another one on the same page. Oh, I also had the a Duracom 20 amp battery backup switch that will handle both 110 and 12 volts. Instead of using something from West Mountain Radio, there's another option, and they give a Tesco number for that. And then there were, he chose to use oak paneling from Lowe's for his panels, but he can do other things as well. He made another one in another smaller case from Pelican, a 1450 case that looked very slick as well. He shows that. He shows a couple of these metal-edged aluminum cases from Harbor Freight that can be had for about $20. They look very nice as well. And he shows some examples of how that can be done. And then finally, he shows an example of building out of plywood. In this case, it was finished plywood. Very nice, mount all the components to a piece of board, and then basically wrap it around it, put some carry handles on the side. Very nice. Anybody have any comments or thoughts about this? I just thought it was rather interesting the way he built this up. It's KTBAR. No, just FYI, last weekend we got to use the Go kit that I brought to the Barra meeting. That's the one with the in the MTM dry box, and has the IC7000. IC7000, a West Mountain Radio plug and play, digital interface, a DR135 2-meter FM rig with a built-in packet modem, power distribution, antenna tuner, speakers, audio distribution, etc. All nicely done, and we used that the Rampo Rally bike ride. Jim Jackson had another variation on the theme. He's got a mobile rig. I think it's a 2-meter 440 mobile rig that's bolted on top of a switching power supply. And while it may not look as pretty, it's got everything it needs. It's got a way to put in AC, and you've got a way to bypass it and put in DC as well, and or bridge it off for me for something else, and attach your antennas and away you go. So that was kind of like as well we need that configuration as well, another GoKit idea. We're getting into the heart of storm season now, guys, so it's time to buckle down and really make sure things are right and you're in our shacks. So, something to think about. Comments? Alrighty, any other announcements? I guess we have the Barra meeting on the 5th. Any other announcements coming forward? Alrighty, any other check-ins or questions or comments for the net?
HA4WD, no comments, no questions.
Good evening, Rachel. I'll log you in. However, welcome aboard. Alrighty, anybody else? Alright, guys, I'd like to thank you for checking in tonight. It's been a little short net, but it's a good net nonetheless. I want to thank Jim for his comment about the magnetically repulsive keys. Marvelous site, and they can be found at the November0SierraAlpha.com website. I think that's what it was. And there's also far less elegant but just as basically useful for their basic models. The Vibroflex folks have one that's like that too, but nowhere near as nice as the November0SierraAlpha models. Very impressive. Anyway, wish everybody a fair evening. Thanks to the Chestnut Ridge Radio Co. producer, the repeater, and we'll chat with you another day. This is K2BAR W2TTT, signing off for Clear 7-3.